Welcome back to the Spinner Rack, all you new U-maniacs. We're here at the Season 5 of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, the voice of the new universe. We're your hosts.
Andy, covering DP7 number 27, and...
Steven with Taking It Easy.
Slacker.
The new universe was launched in 1986 as an imprint from Marvel Comics dedicated to a more grounded, less fantastic approach to comics. The original idea was the world outside your window and included real-time progress. The new universe has changed a lot in 2 years, and now we are heading into 1989. The world knows about paranormals, and the U.S. government has started capturing and drafting them into the Army and CIA. Pittsburgh has been destroyed, forming the Pit, and creating new, sometimes twisted, paranormals. Only a few issues remain for each surviving series, and they all seem to be headed towards war.
War!
With our podcast, you can follow along with us each week as we go through each remaining comic in the order they hit the spinner rack. Or, you know, you can still just check out individual comics if you already have a favorite. Maybe someone out there, DP7 number 27, was the only one they wanted to hear about. And, well, welcome.
Every episode is someone's first episode?
Let's hope.
Probably not.
If you enjoy this, you can also find us over at our webpage, kickersinc.com, where we're trying to put together some additional fun stuff, like... things that people have asked for a publication schedule. We will get that out of our notes and publicize it a little bit more. Maybe some original art people are starting to send in. You can also find us over on X, formerly Twitter, at Kickers Inc., where we try to update you on the shows as they come out.
Yeah, and this week we get back to good old DP7. This is the saga of seven of the many, many paranormals caught up in a world gone mad. Lenore, who's dead, Miriam, Charlie, Stephanie, and Jenny Swenson, the first five recruits of the CIA's Special Paranormal Task Force, and Dave and Randy, two members of the U.S. Army's first paranormal battalion. It is a saga filled with countless other human beings and paranormals, countless, who've been caught up in a world that has been relentlessly drifting toward a bizarre and inexplicable future. The Marvel Age solicit for this week's issue was, in a searing tale of honor, redemption, and death, DP7's Dave Landers and two other paranormals embark on a suicide mission into the Pit. Do any of them come back alive? That's not as important as what they see and experience once they get there. This drama was perhaps written by Mark Gruenwald, penciled by Paul Ryan, inked by Danny Bulinati.
That's a real grabber for you.
Yeah, I like that one.
And we will probably be having very little discussion this week, as the story is extra long. So we'll focus on that, discussing this story afterwards. But there's no universe news this month's new universe titles. So not too much to add to everything.
Just the comic, I guess.
Let's stay focused as best we can.
Which is not our strong point.
Hey, that reminds me of some stuff that happened last week. Hey, you want to talk about that for a while first?
Tell me about this interesting thing that happened while I was pumping gas. So DP727, covered January 89, though you could really read it starting October 4th, 1988. The cover is actually kind of neat. It says all action issue, and it's got a split into three cover situation, right? So you got Mastodon duels with Dirtbag, and we see him, looks like he's getting blasted by a sandstorm, some guy waving his arms at him. Antibody plunged into pit juice. And so...
Ew.
Yeah, right. You get one of the antibodies, kind of like there's a volcano in the background. He's just kind of laying up on some rocks. No pit juice, or maybe the pink stuff is pit juice. I don't know. And then Glitter goes wild.
All right.
Predates Girls Gone Wild.
Oh.
And she just seems to be punching Jenny Swenson, so maybe not too wild. Otherwise, I mean, that's what that I've been kind of dreaming of since the CIA Lady Fem Squad was formed, but well, we'll just have to find out.
Wait, let's get a commission of this. This is great.
Can't
Hey,
fight.
this is like a couple issues ago we had the split cover with the ES people and something else. Oh, the antibody fighting the Fama Leech. And it feels like we're upping it another notch here with the three-parter.
Though, I mean, really the most important part should be what they see and experience once they get to the pit, I guess. So maybe all this action is for naught.
I think that in the solicit, the thing that I was most curious about was the with two other paranormals, whether those would be other DP7s.
All right.
So
Let's find out.
that's fun.
So yeah, picking up the book. Yeah, our squad's pretty divided. We're not going to hear from Scuzz and the DD teens who were in a car accident. And we still
Still don't know.
don't know what happened with them. Let's see. Yeah, Randy. They figured out he was paranormal, right? So
And he didn't kill Zentner to hide that,
he
which is what
did
I would have
not.
suggested to him, but
So he's
okay.
back in the main army, and Dave Landers is still in trouble with the army because he assaulted officers in order to let Stephanie escape. And Stephanie is part of the CIA squad with Lenore and Jenny and Sponge and such. And Charlie, right? Who don't all quite show up. But anyway, page one is a big splash, the ditch. So the pit has been downgraded to the ditch. So it's Fort Benning, Georgia, Special Powers Training Course, and you have an antibody, but it's actually Randy. So Randy can now like climb inside or get kind of like enveloped by the antibody, like Shadow Man. So it's him flying, but it pretty much just looks like a regular antibody. And so they made this army training course for him. It looks like a video game. It's like fly through the hoops and make all the right turns and that kind of stuff. And he's thinking to himself, like, the more I think about flying, the worse I am. I should just let the antibody do all the work. He's far more experienced at this than me. So I guess he can kind of like release control and like let the thing fly himself.
That's a good question. I guess you're right.
Seems like it.
Yeah, he's I guess I didn't pick up, but you're right that he kind of thinks of this as yet another antibody that he's just produced and is riding along with,
Right.
not as like himself or like a coat of armor or whatever.
Right, because that's kind of how it worked in the with the other characters using it. The antibody's there, and then he kind of jumps inside it. So the next page is actually pretty fun. They get kind of like a zoom out of the army training course. And there's like a bunch of just the antibodies themselves flying around like through the hoops, and like one of them stuck in a tire and that kind of stuff. Looks like there's two guys there. Do we ever get the other guy? I don't think so.
I was thinking it was Zentner, but I don't see
He looks
him mentioned by
older.
name. I know the other one's Haldeman, yeah.
Yeah, so Haldeman and Zentner, but so they're timing him. Randy kind of lands and reabsorbs the antibody. And there's a funny scene where, Haldeman's got a little chart of all the different times, and they're all the individual, like, sort of Randy-less antibodies all kind of swarm him. And it's like, O'Brien! Oh, sorry, I guess they're just trying to see if you wrote down their running times. And he says, Moe, Larry, Curly, Shemp, inside me on the double. Which is actually kind of a funny out-of-context line itself. And so the
It's
anti- Oh, go ahead.
sorry, I was gonna say it reminds me of good old Coach Kirby back in the Kickers there.
A little bit, yeah. O'Brien!
O'Brien!
If you don't get to practice Magna Conti, you're not playing in the game, no matter how good you are.
We're gonna cut you, even if you scored every goal this whole season by yourself.
One of the antibodies is kind of like giving the Zeke Heil salute kind of thing a little bit there, which is funny.
I think he called you a fascist, Sarge. Huh. I didn't tell him to do that. Where he gets these ideas.
We're kind of back to like normal Randy too, where like the antibodies are around and they're always kind of like gesturing or like copying him or kind of like doing fun stuff in the background, which is nice. Haldeman just seems angry though. He's like, eh, I'm sure you would have preferred your cushy medics position. I don't care what you want. We're going to use your abilities to the fullest. And what I need you to do is work on controlling those doubles. He's like, oh, but there's so many. When there's so many of them, I can't control them. It's like, well, then don't put so many at once. He's like, I can't always control that either, sir. And he's like, I say you're just using that as an excuse so you can act insubordinate. And Randy's kind of giving up. He's like, thinking to himself, he'll never be convinced. So just Haldeman yells at him some more, has him turn into the antibody armor, I guess. I'm not really sure what to call it. He antibodies up, and then put on
Oh,
army
I
gear.
was starting to call it the Randy body.
Oh,
Yeah, you'll like
not
that
sure I
one.
like that one.
It's funny because Randy is a medic, obviously, but they're still pushing guns and stuff on him, like he would be expected to be, in the action without like a white helmet or whatever it is they do.
Yeah. And so we kind of split between in this issue, like Randy at the army, Dave Landers, who's in prison, which we're getting to next, and then like the CIA group with the girls. So on page 4, we get elsewhere at Fort Benning, the newly completed Lawrence Rochefort detention facility, which I tried looking up but didn't find anything on.
Me too. I there was a couple of guys named Rochefort who were like naval cryptographologists, or it was like nothing in military history. So what could it mean? I don't, unless it's just Marvel,
Just
Gruenwald's old college buddy or something. I don't know.
right. We're just gotta come up with a name for something, right? Maybe it was his lawyer. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a guy who's like everything that pops up on Google is like a lawyer somewhere who's like,
Yeah,
I
he
don't think he's
really
old
did his
enough. Yeah.
search optimization, right? Because I couldn't get around
Three or four pages later, I'm okay, I give up, dude. Okay.
that guy. So Dave is like in literal jail now. So it's a prison for paranormals, or at least that wing of it, at least. He's kind of thinking to himself, hoping as well, this is better than the hole, and at least maybe this will keep me from going overseas, right? There's two other cellmates or two other people in the cells opposite him. One's kind of sitting reading, and the other one's kind of hovering in that like yoga meditation Swami pose. And so he tries to talk to the one guy. He's like, tell me something, Daryl. Is it true you killed the guy? What's it do you? It's like, I'm just making conversation. He's like, make it somewhere else. So, okay. The army prison guards are watching them closely. So he gets yelled at for touching the bars, and then they're going to electrify him. He gets yelled at for talking to the other guy. He's like, oh, geez. They sure like busting chops, huh? But as he turns towards his bed, one of Randy's antibodies kind of pops up through the ground. And he's like, oh, I guess Randy wants to know how I'm doing. He's like, better block it from the video camera's view. And so he starts talking to it, almost a little bit like desperate, like, please stick around, hang out with me. But he's like, no, please stay a minute, chat. It's like, you don't have vocal cords, but you can write, can't you? Which we'd always kind of wondered. It's like, do you want to play a little tic-tac-toe or would you prefer hangman? I'm like, just please, someone, I'm lonely. Gets interrupted. So I guess we get a later. So the antibody must have hung out with him for a while. And then some guard guys come in. We get Colonel Myers, which I think is new. I don't know that we know him from before.
I don't remember seeing him before you.
Yeah. So he does roll call. So we get Dave Landers, Daryl Schissel, who is the guy who said, is it true you killed someone? And then Hamilton Hart are his cell buddies. And The Hamilton guy is like, they're like, wake him up. He's just kind of sitting there, like a smile on his face. Again, he's floating, but it looks like he's meditating. He's like, hey, dog face, wake up. He's like, it's not paying attention, sir. He's like, use force if necessary. Then he gets the military police guard kind of gets zapped, and there's like this pink aura around him, and he's like, yes, sir, I'll
Lolly lay lulu lo.
No, not lolly lady though. The guy kind of like crumples. He's like, oh, so good. it's like the other guards. I think it's Myers. Like, stinking paranormal. Try to pacify us, will you? And he like shoots him with a trank. So I guess very Metal Gear Solid, just tranking. So yeah.
Yeah, the guy in the cell has that like exclamation mark over his head at that point. He's, yeah.
Whose footprints are these? But I guess we've got like, I guess it's like a pacifying bliss powers is what they call it in the book. But it can just like make people feel really good to the point where they just kind
Yeah,
of fall
it's
down.
interesting. He seems to be able to do it to himself,
Right.
or like whatever it is he's like doing, he's addicted to as well.
Right. So it's like the internet or something.
By the way, I've noticed now that Swami comes up a couple of times and Bliss. Do you think I was calling him Bliss at first, but do you think he's got a more Swami or something else is a better name for
I want
him?
to start with Bliss, I think, because I think like they're just calling him Swami because of like the pose,
Oh, right.
maybe. But
Anyway.
Hamilton. Anyway, so what is he? The Colonel Myers is like, all right, you miserable excuses for soldiers. I've been authorized to cut you all a deal. You agree to this, and the criminal charges against you will all be dropped, and you'll be free men. The army's got a mission it wants you losers to undertake. A civilian scientific party has been lost in the pit. We believe Colonel Mac Browning may be involved. No, he
Last seen in the
didn't
helicopter flying
say
over them.
that. We need somebody to go down there and find them. And Dave's like, the pit, like a cool gas panel, like, ah, the pit. So he kind of remembers back, the last time when he went to rescue Jeff. And barely made it out of there alive, saved by Jenny Swenson, which was the last time the Max armor really got used by a proper owner. He's like, oh my gosh, I almost boiled to death. I can't imagine a more horrible place on earth. He's like, Myers, I've been to the pit and there's no way I'm going back out there again. Count me out. The guy's like, chicken, big bruiser like you. He's like, I'm not going back. I'd rather have life imprisonment. He's like, life imprisonment in the hole, Landers? It's like, oh,
Have some
jeez.
dignity, Colonel, please. Yeah, back to the hole. Oh my gosh.
Right. So from there, we cut to the CIA. So, like, our third part of the trifecta of DP7 story here. So, back to the CIA in Langley, Maryland. And Stephanie Glitter, who nobody calls her in the book, but in describing the book, we get it a lot, is pissed after that mission. So that last mission where they were dropped in the jungle in Brazil to deal with some kind of threat that they weren't really explained what it was, and it was the family each grown to the size of an apartment complex, right? Which almost killed all of them and did kill Lenore. And Stephanie, in particular, was really angry that they left a couple hours after searching. Like they never found her body. Not that you would with the family, each, I suppose.
I'll call Lenore missing in action. I don't.
Yeah. So she's pounding and breaking the table. Again, she's got like super strength. She's like, couldn't have mentioned that there was a huge protoplasmic monster down there absorbing the bodies of every living creature it caught. She's like, damages are coming out of your paycheck, Harrington. As I've explained to you, we were not aware of the immensity of the entity you encountered. It's like, oh. But really, they didn't even tell them what it
They
was.
told them nothing. There's like a bioweapon got loose.
Right.
What the heck is that supposed to do? And then they send people who like, I don't know, that like the idea was paranormal versus paranormal, but it's like, yeah, there's paranormalities that don't do much combat wise. Charlie's is sometimes helpful, but wasn't too good against the Family Leech at all.
Right.
You can imagine like Kleenex from Justice being, how useful he would be against it.
I guess he
It's
could
like,
help find it.
that's true.
Ish. Give him some flamethrowers or something, though, like some grenades. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean the if well, let's let them continue to criticize the ladies here for some reasons.
Yeah, but Jenny's trying to kind of cool her down, and kind of diffuse the situation. And they're like, "It's unfortunate what happened to Agent Fenzel. She'll be missed." And Stephanie's not
Unit A79 will
having
definitely be missed,
it.
but
Stephanie's not having it. She's like, "You think of her as a mere commodity, something that's useful to you? She was a human being, kind, gentle." And it's like, if you're implying that we consider you all expendable, I assure you that's not the case. With all the time and money we invested in you people, we would not send you on a suicide mission. It's like, because it would be too expensive to train new people.
I do sort of take that guy's point as like, okay, I mean there was like a bonehead maneuver, but they weren't trying to get them all killed or
Right.
something.
It's a stupid mission, just not a suicide mission.
Which
So
we'll come back to in a second anyway.
a little more arguing. It's like your righteous indignation is all fine and good, but it doesn't alter the fact that you totally failed to do anything about that creature, and as a consequence, untold lives will be lost. It's like, whoa. Jenny's like, were you listening? We could barely. It's like, oh, I've had enough. And so he kind of dismisses them without even letting them kind of defend themselves to, like, again, what was she supposed to punch it to death? Like, what was.
You need, to like call the army back and call in some tactical strikes when you get this thing out
Right.
of
Throw a tracking thing inside of it or something. That probably would work okay. And later on, after the CIA girls have left, they're kind of talking. It's like, well, the mission was very vital, Irene. They were the best candidates for the job. They talk about sort of discipline, and I actually mentioned Proudhawk. Is like, I wish we had. They talk about having paranormals among the officers is what the army does. It's like, I wish we had. If only Proudhawk hadn't bought the farm. We're going to have to start devising solutions before we expand our paranormal program much farther. So, maybe think of something a little better than just airdrop paranormals to solve problems. But
Yeah, the part where they blame them for not, and they'll lives will be lost because you guys didn't do anything. You expected me to glitter it to death with them?
it could work.
Gross. Yeah.
But I guess, I mean, people always complain that the government's incompetent, right? So.
I like the damages are coming out of your paycheck. What? Oh, the CIA doesn't have a budget to cover a table. Okay, dude. Don't even
Yeah.
have to report things to the Congress. I mean,
Well, she
just tack it up
manufactured.
another billion on there, would you? But for it's a secret. Oh, okay. Here you go, buddy.
She may, in fact, rack up some more damages on that bill later on. So, as we cut back to O'Brien, the antibody at Fort Benning, where he's kind of chilling, classic new universe, watching TV. There's a little blip about the New Hampshire primary. Governor Dukakis faces his arch rival for the Democratic re nomination for the final blah blah blah. So the election. I mean, at this point, we're in October, though, right? So shouldn't this be settled?
This comes in October, and the it's not dated, but it's months past, it's late summer easily. And yeah, the New Hampshire primary is famous for being the first one of the year back in January. A little weird, I don't know.
It's
It's
just a mistake, I guess.
I it's yeah, I don't know. Some of this is it's one of these like the bite themselves in the behind with some of their trying to sync things up with the real world schedule.
Right. Maybe we'll be getting a time jump soon.
Yeah. But yeah, we have Dukakis, who was the Democratic candidate in 1988, and there's another one that is not named here. So.
Right. We already kind of know it was Voight from previous comics.
Yes, you're
Right.
right. We know.
Anyway, the antibody that was hanging out with Dave shows up and, kind of remember these things, what they go out and experience away from Randy when they come back and either touch someone or reabsorb into him, like, then it gets replayed back to him. So, whatever Dave Landers said or did, Randy gets back. So he's informed about the crazy mission to the pit. And apparently the antibody can write. He even wrote a little note to Dave saying, "I'll wait to see you off." So it stuck with him until he got all geared up and on the helicopter and headed off to the pit, basically. So we get a nice shot of Dave Landers with combat gear, helmet and camo and all kinds of fun stuff.
I think he is shaking hands goodbye with the antibody.
I'm probably going to be dead, but thanks for hearing my story. So Randy's a little mad at first that it took him so long to give him back, and he kind of recognizes, like, no, it's okay, you did well, but what do I do? My best friend is being sent to a place he fears and loathes, accompanied by two complete wastes, which I love that line. A friend who is none too stable mental condition as well, right? Because he's really, even since the pit, like, he's been struggling, but especially after being thrown in solitary confinement and almost offing himself, he's like, I can't let him go off. Like, I've got to go with him. What am I, nuts? If I go AWOL, I may end up in as much trouble as he is. It's like a dishonorable discharge from the service might even prevent me from ever practicing medicine. He's like, I wasn't there when Dave really needed me once. I'll be darned if I let him down again and find out he's lost his life because of it. So he antibodies up and flies off through the barracks, right? So he's taken off to go and try and rescue Dave, which is nice.
It is. I think I maybe a couple of these guys wandering around are from the draft, Garth
Yeah,
and
it wasn't really obvious.
maybe that guy Anderson, who was a sniper in Psi-Force. He's like the guy with the glasses. I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah, they don't look super recognizable.
They're not called out by name, so let's not dwell on
Yeah,
it.
you just did.
Sorry.
I'm
Cut
sorry.
this part out. Fix it in post.
So we go back to Stephanie, who's finally getting back home to her family, which we're living in the army base with their dad Chuck, who has AIDS, who was hoping that Stephanie could cure him, I believe. Last we knew,
Just
she
wondering
got.
if we could. Yeah. Anyway,
I
it's
know.
a He, yeah. So they didn't really show past the initial confrontation what the
Right.
resolution of that was.
Basically, it seems like she yelled at him and then took off, and then she got stuck on a mission. So, and presumably that took days or weeks. So she's going through the house, can't find anybody, finds a note. She's like, a note, Chuck's handwriting says, "Steph, before you left, you made it clear what little sympathy you had for me and my problem. If you're not going to help me, I'm not sticking around. I took the kids, of course. You're hardly a fit mother, tramping around the globe like a secret agent with a sparkler up her nose. You can try." I'm guessing he didn't mean to say nose. word starts with an A, but comics code. You can try and find us if you want, but you won't succeed. The last place I'd ever go back to is our home in Sheboygan. As for you and your chick friends, I hope you all get stuffed, Chuck. Which is hilarious. But
He
those are
was totally saving his A material for this occasion. Okay, honey, whatever you say, honey. I'm just trying to get stuffed up your nose. Months of that. Months!
Stephanie, remember, was like kind of like scared and like didn't really and worried and always kind of think worried about her family, and now she's a little more aggressive. But she's kind of sits there for a moment thinking, I can't believe this. She's hands on the dresser, kind of in front of the mirror, like, oh. And then she just picks up the dresser and is like, Chuck, and just throws it through the wall. Glowing, like, so As she reads the letter, she's glowing more and more and more and more, which is kind of like her powering up as well, which is kind of cool.
I love the progression at the bottom of page 12 as she's reading it. Like it gets closer and closer on her face, and her expression is changing, and she's glowing up. All that is really nice.
Yeah, well done. And then our next panel is back to Landers, and it's like 3 miles from the lip of the pit, a 50-mile crater where Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania used to be. So it's a helicopter over the pit, but the pit is really mostly like this huge volcano now, right? It's up over higher than the lip, so it's kind of like a volcano surrounded by this pit. And does the scale of this bother you when you look at it? Like it looks too small.
There's something off about it. It's kind of, I don't know. All we've seen before is like a little diagram, like a, cutaway diagram on the Universe News like a month or two ago. So,
Right.
it does seem like the mountain is taking up most of the pit now. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
It's a,
something about the scale of it just seems like it's too small, but anyway.
yeah, 50 miles is, yeah, when you're, they would have to be pretty high up to get a good glimpse like that. You can see like the lip of the pit is still very sheer, and you'll see on the next page there's like waterfalls where the rivers are cutting into it, the side of it. But anyway.
Smoke and waterfalls. So yeah, helicopter kind of comes down. Like Myers is there and some guards and like basically pointing guns at these guys. Like you're getting out whether you like to or not. Yeah, they call Hamilton the Swami again. He's like make sure he isn't coming around. I don't want him to try and bliss us out while we're flying all over this thing. So like I guess they kept him sedated so he didn't like mess with the pilot and get them all killed. And we get a nice close-up on Dave thinking to himself, the pit, I'm back at the stinking pit. It's here where all my luck began to change. Went from bad to worse. If I hadn't come here in the first place, I not only wouldn't have nearly gotten myself fried, but I wouldn't have left Stephanie just as she was about to recover from that coma. Wouldn't have lost her to that creepo husband of hers. If I hadn't come here, I might not have been drafted either. I might have been able to escape to Canada before I got sucked up into all this military madness. So that's classic Dave. He's depressed.
Yeah, he's it does also help get you up to speed if you missed any of this stuff. So,
Sadly, sad and up to speed, indeed.
but yeah, he hadn't heard about this volcano either. But what a hole! What's that big volcano doing there? Have I not
Yeah.
been following the news or what?
He has not been reading Universe News whenever they do manage to publish it. All right, so the helicopter goes down into the pit and they kind of give them their orders. They will be putting you down in the vicinity where the Smithsonian expedition from was last heard from. They send people from the museum. Find them,
Sound
radio us your.
sciencey.
Find them, radio us your position, and we'll come pick you up. If you don't find them in 5 days, signal us and we'll airdrop you more food. Just don't expect to be picked up until your mission is accomplished. Okay, losers, move out. So basically.
I like Dave's response here. It's my last chance. If I can't think of some way out of this in the next 5 seconds, five. Next thing you know, he's jumping down. There you go. Okay, no
Yeah.
clever remark. Where's your comeback now? I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah. So we cut to them, the chopper flies away, and he's like, do I hear lava? Oh dear. So then we switch back to Stephanie at Langley Base having completely leveled her house, I guess.
Wow, yeah.
Guards on the base yelling at her through a megaphone, Agent Harrington, this is base security. Cease your senseless destruction at once, or we'll be forced to subdue you. She just starts yelling about her husband and children. Jenny comes in, is like, let me handle this. I'm your friend. She'll listen to me. And it doesn't go so well. She's like, "What are you doing? What's wrong?" And she kind of yells and explains that sick buzzard, he took them while we were just in the jungle, you know. So their kids are gone. And she's like, "You mean your husband? He took your kids somewhere?" And she's like, "Yes, let go of me. I want nothing to do with you, CIA, with anybody. Just leave me alone." And she's like, "I can't let you go wild like this. Those men, they will." And Stephanie just like backfists Jenny and like sends her flying with like a clang. Of course, Jenny Swenson is not regular Jenny Swenson, but chromed out metal version. So I guess she can take a hit. So she hits her, sends her flying. And Jenny kind of calls out the guards. It's like, "No, I can handle this." The one guy's thinking to himself, "Oh boy, these two super dames are gonna scrap. I just know it." I like to think this is the same guard throughout with the running commentary, but we'll see.
He speaks for all of us.
He does. So yeah, they just start yelling at each other, fighting. You know, Jenny kind of dives in and tackles her. Stephanie punches her in the face and gets punched back. A couple kicks, another punches, and basically, like Stephanie winds up with a huge haymaker. And she's like, "I'm sick of having everyone I love taken away from me." Jenny's like, "I've never thinking to herself, I've never seen anyone so wild, distraught. If only I could reach around her rage." And then she gets huge haymaker, kind of sends Swenson flying into the rubble, and then she's kind of down for the count, like laying there, bluish blood coming out. So interesting. But this kind of snaps Stephanie out of it. She looks at her, she's like, "Jenny?" She's like, "Oh, Jenny, she's bleeding, I think." And her glow dissipates and kind of starts to look a little more normal. She's like, "Oh gosh, Jenny, I didn't mean to. Let me heal you. I'm so sorry. Please wake up." The guard is thinking, "Shucks, cat fight's over." And we get a word, a thought bubble in Jenny's head. It's like, I think I can pretend to come too now. My little ploy to snap her out of her mad on seems to have worked." And one of the guards is thinking, "Crazy broads." So I guess she wasn't really unconscious, but she kind of pretended to be more hurt, thinking that that would kind of snap Stephanie out of it because she didn't actually want to hurt her friend, hopefully, presumably.
Presumably. Yeah, both of them are pretty rugged, so you can imagine you would have destroyed the house that was, or if it wasn't on the ground already,
Yeah.
when the two of them go at it. But fun times. Visually, it's great, gotta say.
That's pretty cool. A fairly reasonable way to have two heroes fighting each other as opposed to just constant misunderstandings. But
Right,
from
right.
here we cut over to the pit. So again, you got Dave Landers, Daryl Dirtbag Schissel, and Hamilton Bliss, Swami Heart, the Blissful Swami, all down in the pit. A fun little crew. So Landers is kind of taking it serious. It's like, "Which way should we head?" And the dirtbag guy's like, "It don't matter. This whole mission is bogus anyway." I'm like, "Well, what's that supposed to mean?" He's like, "Dummy up, fossil head. There ain't no lost scientific party, and they ain't coming back for us either. Look, they got no use for paranormals like the three of us. We ain't army material. We broke a couple of their precious rules and regulations." He's thinking to himself, the rule Schissel broke was killing. So they got three options. One, keep us locked up and fed for the next 30 years. But that'd be expensive and difficult, but with our tricky powers and all. Two, they can make an example out of us executing us, but that might backfire. They had a hard enough time keeping us jolly jerks in line as it is. Executions might start causing riots. And it says three, they would send us on a wild goose chase to the most godforsaken place on earth and leave us permanently. None of us can fly. We only have food for 5 days. In 20 days, we've starved to death, and their problems were solved. Maybe less if the lava gets us first. So, I don't know. He's pretty astute there.
Yeah, for a guy whose codename's Dirtbag, this is like remarkably like cuts to the chase. You know what I mean? It's not
Right.
like, hey, look, where's this expedition? Oh, there's a footprint over here. He just like helicopters off, and he's just, look, all signs point to this being a trap. And
Right.
everything in the story says, like, bears that up. Yeah.
Right. And even Landers is like, you're right. If they're really concerned about saving lost civilians, they wouldn't only send three soldiers and bad ones at that. So.
I gotta say, Bliss is, I mean, where would you send him to where he's helpful, you
Right.
know?
A
Anyway.
riot.
That's good, yeah. Persons of mass destruction. You just put him in the middle of a civil unrest and everyone is like on the ground. It's like Lenore, but more addictive, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So the dirtbag guy kind of goes on to explain, is like, well, I didn't fight it because this is the only way I can escape, right? So his goal is, all right, let him drop him off, and then he's just going to try and get out of the pit and then be free, leave the country, find a new identity, and that kind of stuff. Now Bliss is funny, is like, it's like, what are you talking about, man? You'll never be able to climb out of here. Don't you see how deep it was? And so he's again kind of understands the situation. If it's hopeless, what's the sense of doing anything? If even moving from this spot, it's a righteous theory, man. I'm not moving. I'm just gonna sit here and blow my mind till the end. Wanna join me? So yeah, he's just gonna bliss himself out the whole time. He thinks he can convince Randy, but I'm sorry, Dave Landers, but Dave still has that ES people mental block, so his bliss powers don't even work on him. So yeah, he's just assumes his Swami pose and just gonna chill out until he starves to death, I guess.
It's funny that Dave even realizes, he's like, I don't think you could do it. And what happened? Yeah, just can't do nothing with me. It's a it because Dave's, powers are pretty obvious, but he was also had he's unusual in having the second power of being psychically controllable, which
Yeah.
has been very helpful in that several situations.
Right.
Bliss Kai is, it's kind of, a hippie is a pretty old thing in the 80s already. You know what I mean? This,
Right.
like, I'm a latest is the 70s, and he looks like to be a young dude. So it's funny. I don't know. It's kind of a, like a just, yeah, like I say, his power became like a drug problem for him or something.
Yeah, I think he's like addicted to it, and if you could make yourself feel good all the time, why bother doing anything else, I suppose.
And finally, the question, like you see in the last panel on 19, he does kind of fly, or at least he kind of hovers like a foot off the ground, which you kind of saw before. But
Yeah.
I don't know if that means he could have got himself out of the pit with that power. It might be just that's all he can do, but.
Yeah. Presumably, yeah, he can just hover, otherwise he would have maybe saved himself, maybe.
Hard to say, yeah.
So yeah, so they're in the ditch now, I guess. It's the crack in between the edge of the pit and the volcano, and it's just like rocks and steam and lava and smoke and that kind of such. Everything's kind of red and purple and pink, and
We get a little from Dave's dialogue that he can't see in front of him. It's a little, from the angles of the art, it's a little hard to tell that. But yeah, everything is just obscured and you're kind of lost in the fog constantly.
Yeah, so he kind of goes off looking for Dirtbag, who we can see has kind of like hit himself up on a rock ledge. And so as Dave goes walking off, he kind of climbs back down and sneaks back. Back around to where Bliss is hanging out. We get a meanwhile, and Randy and his antibodies have made it to the pit, so 3 miles above. And he again is kind of like startled by the change. His last time I was here, I don't remember the volcano. This place has changed. But what did he say? Never did get a chance to see the pit from this height. So a whole bunch of antibodies, maybe. Five, four or five, and Randy are all kind of flying around, trying to look for Dave, but it's only pretty quickly. The Randy with antibody armor, again, I'm struggling with the name for this, gets blasted by like a geyser, like a thermal vent, and he goes down. And he's like, can't feel numb. What's happening? And so he's basically crippled, which is interesting. Like, I'm not sure that we'll get closure on this, but he's down.
Haven't seen this before, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is where Randy's also thinking that like there's a name for the gap that's the ditch.
Yeah. What was it? The trench? The
Either one of them, that's probably an argument in the Marvel offices that we're having too, but
It's not
yeah,
really a pit anymore. It's more of a trench.
it's like a moat around a volcano. Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't say pit juice there, but that was on the cover, I guess. But pit juice was bad enough, but having it blasted at you, yikes. Yeah, something going on there.
Something bad. We cut back to Bliss hovering with the dirtbag guys kind of snuck back around to him. And so he hasn't really used his powers yet, but he can control dirt. So he makes like dirt tornadoes, can fling rocks a little bit, and that kind of stuff. And they basically like shoves a bunch of, he's kind of surrounds the guy with like a dust and dirt tornado and kind of chokes him so he can't breathe and dies. So yeah, Dirtbag has circled back around and killed Hamilton and stolen his food. He's like, well, now I got 10 days worth of food. Let's go make it 15. It's like, oh geez. This guy is definitely ruthless and out for himself. We cut back to Landers, who's again, he's just trying to move forward. You know, he's nearly gets hit by one of those pit geysers, maybe pit juice steam, pit steam. And he's just trying to move forward where he gets caught up in the dirt tornado too, which, you know, is where we're all, I'm presuming Daryl Dirtbag is caught up to him and is trying to take him out, but he doesn't really know that, and he's kind of thinking about it as he goes down. So he kind of like covers his face, gets down on the ground, you know, thinking to himself, Daryl. But he's down for the count too. Go back to Randy, you know, who's crippled and just kind of laying on the rocks. His antibodies can still move around, just not the one that he's within. He's like, I can't seem to move. Either I sustained spinal damage in that fall or something that geyser paralyzed me. He's like, oh, how am I going to find Dave now? So he summons another antibody so that two of them can lift him up, but the ones that touch him also get paralyzed. So there's three of them lying down there. It's like, oh crap. He's like, well, if my paralysis is contagious by touch, at least I can rule out spinal damage. Small consolation. I'm still stuck in here flat on my back at the bottom of the pit. So then he shoots out like nine more antibodies. So again, we're kind of curious at what his upper limit is, but I'm not sure how they're going to help him. Kind of switching back and forth, you know, so it goes back to Landers, who's kind of collapsed on the ground, with Dirtbag kind of sneaking up to him, seemingly victorious. But as he's trying to pull his food bag out from under Dave, who's of course huge, it was a trick. So Landers kind of grabs him by the wrists. He's like, pretty sleazy, pal, killing a guy for a couple stinking packets of food. You get to heart already? It's like, hey, let go. You're busting my hands. It's like, I am tisk tisk. So Dirtbag's like, I'm warning you. I'll show you that a dirt storm that'll make the last one look like a walk in the park. So he says, do your worst. And he does. So Dirtbag flings up bigger rocks, but Landers is huge and can take bullets. And Dirtbag cannot. So he basically takes himself out with his own dirt storm. And then as he goes unconscious, all the stuff that was storming kind of like collapses down on top of both of them, basically burying them in sand and dirt. So bad move for Daryl.
I do like Dirtbag had a bit of a villain talk at the beginning there. This goes to show you the world's one big mud ball, and the guy who rules the mud can rule the world. It's not exactly Magneto, but
Right.
okay.
He just needs
Okay.
like a counterpart feeling. He's like, well, in fact, the surface of the world is 70% water. So the one who rules the
Yeah.
water. Okay.
Dirtbag versus Sponge, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a nice little sequence of panels. Like 2 minutes later, like a steaming pile of sand and dirt. 3 minutes later, same pile, but you know, time has passed. The steam is gone. 3.5 minutes later, Dave busts out. It's like breaks out through the top. It's like, oh, made it. So he's able to like muscle himself out through the dirt and sand. Kind of climbs up, coughs. Tries to rescue Dirtbag, so he kind of digs him out, but then he's like, Daryl is like, oh, don't think he made it. His skull, it's all ugh. Well, fella, at the risk of sounding cynical, you dug your own grave.
Okay.
Nappy.
Yeah.
But we didn't really get to see what happened to him. It's kind of shadowed, but presumably it's gruesome.
Well, I mean, his hero was already getting clocked by a piece of rock that was almost as big as his head, so I don't know how much more he could get crushed in there, so
Yeah.
it's
Then
yeah, ugly. We'll call that a definite kill there.
oh yeah, he's done for. Two new paranormals this issue who are both dead. So, and part of a landing party too. So, it's classic deaths. So Randy's antibodies catch up to them and kind of point the way. It's like, "Oh, does that mean Randy?" I was like, sure, I'll follow you. I was like, can't believe it, Randy, here in the pit. He must have gotten my message, followed. I was like, sure wish they could carry me. I learned last time I was down here, it takes more than three of them to lift me. So thankfully, apparently they're not too far off. We get sort of a perilous, easily could have been a cliffhanger. Another kind of geyser goes off and, lava starts leaking out. Kind of slowly heading towards where Randy and the other antibodies are. And he's like, oh my God, I can't move my neck more than an inch, but oh Lord, lava, there's lava pouring out. I'm gonna be burned alive. What can I do to stop it? So he sends out a whole bunch of antibodies and kind of uses them to try and build a dam.
Only
Oof.
one option open to me, my antibodies. Oh, only one option open to me, my antibodies.
Right.
Either way.
So he just piles them all up.
Yeah,
They just
it's
melt.
like a dozen of them pour out of him, and then they all just try to lay down in front of the lava.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. He's like, oh my God, they're melting like wax statues. He's like, maybe they could have piled up rocks, but that probably would have taken too long, I suppose. And he's like, I feel
I hate
sorry.
to see the antibodies buy it. I know they're like semi-independent
Yeah.
things. I don't know how we once or twice they've died and we felt like like the Shadow Man was really making an independent life for himself, and that was kind of sadness.
Cut short. Even Randy's like, I feel like a mother throwing her children to the wolves. It's like they barely slowed it down. He'll be right on top of me any moment. Mom, Dad, you'll never even know how I died. Charlie, I wish I'd. Dot dot dot.
Wait, what?
And then Dave to save the day. So they finally catch up. He's like, Randy, is that Randy inside of one of those? The middle one?
One on the left? I'll grab the one on the left.
Yeah.
Is that the right one?
He grabs
Well,
the wrong one and Randy dies horribly in the
jeez.
lava. Now, I
It's
love it though. He kind of charges in. He's like, he's scared and he's like, Randy, you stupid dope, I'm coming for you. So he runs right up to the edge of the lava, grabs him, and just starts huffing it. Again, trying to outrun the lava flow. So I can't think about the lava. I gotta move. He's like, oh, well, I'm glad you're here, Rand. I really appreciate you coming all this way. Just to show how grateful I am, I'm gonna save both our hides, okay? We're gonna make it, Rand. Count on it. But yeah, it is again, I think one of them mentions it at some point, but it's he came down here to rescue Dave, and then Dave ends up rescuing him. But I suppose even if Randy hadn't come, it would just Dave would have been stuck in the trench or no, sorry, the ditch forever anyway. And so at the very end, he's thinking to himself, I saved the life of my best friend. I've redeemed my stupid suicide attempt. Heck, I'm almost a hero. Well, let's not get carried away. The end.
Oh man.
So I guess that was pretty action-packed. People are dying, heroes are fighting.
Yeah,
Turn to the
it's
trench and the pit and the ditch, the hole. was
I'm not
mentioned.
sure I would call it all action, but there's definitely more than a regular issue's worth of action scenes going on, and several characters that could have also died at various points here.
Right.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, honestly, like with the antibody, it feels like we've burned through a couple of rounds of like more development of them. Like sometimes in the past it was like Randy thinks, it's settled down and there he's confronted by a new threat and he produces more antibodies or something, different antibodies or something. And it's like feels real like he just learned to fly around with his antibody, and now he's maybe, paralyzed and all this. I'm kind of surprised by how far we kind of go through story moments in this
Right.
point in this issue.
Yeah, and he still doesn't quite seem to understand them per se. Like, are they individual? Right? Can he just generate as many as he wants? Like, if.
Yeah, and the army isn't too big on listening to your excuses. Your power would better do what they want you to do, and
Yeah.
none of this like so yeah, it's the continuing, Dave and Randy versus the army, the ladies versus the CIA. It's a little more conflict this time, and everyone kind of chafing under the whatever the direction they've been going in for a while. Everyone feeling like everyone wants to kill them or keep them
Right.
chained to the wheel. I mean, yeah, Randy, has spent his life trying to be a doctor, and then they're like, hey, we need you to, be the ghost guy and fly around and all that. And, oh, great. They're going to send me overseas. Great.
We still don't really know if he's at all like invulnerable, right? Because the guys themselves, they can kind of go, in kind of that ghost mode, right? They can fly through things, or like a bullet could pass through them. They can choose to do that. I don't think he can do that.
Yeah, he was always kind of going out the door instead of like going through a wall when he was like inside one of them, which is yeah, that's interesting. I don't.
They might be able to be stronger per se, but not like,
I mean,
supreme.
the last thing that was after fighting the Family Leech that he had was like, oh, I can go into several of them and be stronger than just one at a time, and
Right.
so. It seems like he's just in one now, and is that himself strength, I guess. I don't. So yeah, there was several notes. I don't know. They mentioned that of the 100 paranormals who came through that boot camp, only 10 of them could fly. And if one of those was that Bliss guy, I mean, you can see how useless he was.
Right. And do you count the metallurgist, the hubcap guy, like
Yeah,
maybe.
maybe, probably. I think it's interesting. I'd never really thought of it too much, but yeah, like Marvel and DC, almost any character can fly. There's always some like, oh, use the rings from the Legion or something. They don't
Yeah.
exist for 1,000 years. Yeah, but we have some rings. It's just put it on and fly with us, okay? So yeah, there's like a fantasy world I remember that like no one flies in. It's not one of their like magic spells or something. And I really thought of like, but it's an interesting constraint because that's sort of out, a fairly realistic one that, this is like not just a power, but an extremely useful one that very few people would have.
Yeah, from a military aspect though, like maybe not that great in combat. Like it would almost be better for like fleeing. If you go up in the air and start flying around, you're like absolutely a target, I would think. But
True, but it's like it feels like you're like a one-man helicopter or something, and you see how they can use that for scouting or picking up, people, and seems like it would be pretty flexible. But yeah, and like just a straight combat situation, yeah, you're just getting yourself killed.
Yeah, because the antibodies would be super useful because you could send them without risk to yourself. But if you're flying around, then like that's a lot riskier.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. So if it like, I mean, you'd noticed before that it's antibody wasn't Randy's code name so much as the things that he produced, which is already kind of like was a weird power. So
Right.
maybe they're kind of transitioning it more to like Randy himself needs to be the active guy and not just, go do this thing. Magic genie guy. I'm gonna just sit here and practice my anatomy lessons or something. I don't
Yeah, I wonder if like they, I mean, I'm guessing that Gruenhold probably had that power set all worked out and figured out even from the beginning. And but you know, it kind of makes sense that like Randy doesn't instantly understand like what he can do, but then also it puts him like nice limits on it too, so he can't just go like fly everywhere. You know, he has to send an antibody out and hope that it comes across what he wants it to and hope that it listens to him and those kind of things.
Yeah, it's aside from Randy, I think the female characters are have discovered that the CIA is a bunch of jerks, is what the Psi Force would have told them. So no matter how nice they are to you while you're training, they'll be happy to like send you on a dubious mission that you're maybe not isn't actually something you're prepared for at all. That they follow your husband to the AIDS testing, but they don't follow him when he's, kidnapping your children.
Yeah.
Thanks. I don't know. The funny thing I was thinking about was the two other guys on the mission with Dave. I was thinking was like Tangler and Freefall would have been good for that too.
Oh yeah, like if they caught those jerks, yeah.
Yeah, if they
They
got
had to work
caught
with
and they were
them.
like, can't do anything with these dudes.
Well, I guess Free Fall could have flown them all out of there.
Maybe, yeah. I guess it doesn't work with the story we have. So yeah, it's and yeah, the Tangler would, I don't know. But
I don't know, you want to lay odds that we ever see Tangler in Free Fall again?
100 to 1.
100 to 1. Yeah, I'm thinking that we probably won't, though it would be kind of nice if we did.
I don't remember people saying that everything got tied up very nicely at the end of the new universe, so.
There's only like 5 issues left, so that's probably not a high priority.
It is not. I kind of wonder if at what point they start realizing, I mean, within 6 months is where we're at, so probably they're gonna be at this point, like, oh, we're out of time. We gotta even like they've been kind of pushing things up in terms of speed and action. Maybe they'll just go straight to the wall with it net from now on.
Yeah, if the war originally it seems like it was going to be an event and not like an end point, then it kind of makes sense to have a bunch of the DP7 characters in the army and such. But like this could be the end of that. Like maybe we kind of leave Jeff Walters behind, staying in the army, but then Randy and Dave are off now to kind of do their own thing, perhaps.
I think that, yeah, this, I mean, we can take a look at the next issue page, which we're lucky we do have back
Yeah, full
as
size.
well. Which, I mean, that really says going in a different direction.
Yeah. You got vote Boyd for president with a big sign in the background. It's like, okay. And then like all of the characters fighting each other, so all the girls versus the boys.
Yeah. So it looks like, yeah, the remaining four female characters and the Dave and Randy going at it. So that looks like a change in direction for the title to me. You can imagine, yeah, like Dirtbag said, you get out of here, you're considered just missing in action. So as long as you kind of keep your head down, you should be okay.
Yeah.
Randy doesn't have much he wants to go back for. So can he just sort of sneak off and, you know, who knows what happened to him? Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. We're not quite in the era of massive facial recognition and video surveillance everywhere and that kind of stuff.
So, we'll see. So, but aside from that, and a couple of things I remember from, you know, the like where we end, you know, my memory of where we're headed with this, I shouldn't get into until next time. So let's see. I would say, my A minus. This is
Yeah,
pretty
that seems
good.
fair. Got some fun new characters, even if they all died. Cat fight.
100% Nukin, I will say. It is
Nukin.
is it a
Not the
everything.
best ever, but very good.
And you know, emotionally, I think you have a good resolution with Dave, kind of. Yeah, he's been through these problems, and I think, yeah, ever since the pit, it's been like they go to rescue Jeff, they have to go to back to rescue Dave here, you know, this kind of thing that they look out for each other is really the kind of the core of why it still feels like a good team book, even if they haven't been together in half a year here.
Yeah, geez. Really, the core group hasn't been together since like that first return to the pit when like Stephanie got comated and right? Like that kind of stuff.
Anyway, I'll see. Ah, just a is there anything else we should cover this time?
I don't think so.
I think also, yeah, Dirtbags, you know, they're just killing us. I guess, I don't know, maybe Justice would get recruited into something like that if they did need to get rid of paranormals.
Yeah.
Different, whatever,
Different,
section or something.
yeah. Wrong
But,
branch of government, I guess.
I was worried they were going to kill me, but luckily the only killer they have is in the NSC, and I'm over in the army. Whew, what a relief. Well, that is it for this week's episode. Next time, the new universe checks in on the overprotective father himself, Justice.
Justice 27, talk about trouble. Justice has more than his hands full this time. Not only must he stop the assassin Quill from killing his daughter, he also has to deal with his daughter's sudden manifestation of her paranormal powers. Called it. Written by Peter David, illustrated by Lee Weeks, Mando offset paper.
I have no idea why they included that, but I loved it. So, the website once again is kickersinc.com. The email, if you'd like to contact us, is newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we will see you back at the spinner rack.
Mando offset paper. It's your universe, idiot.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
I hope you all get stuffed from Chuck.
Shucks, cat fight's over.